That bothers me sometimes, being a conservative up there. Yeah, when it comes to true conservative legislation, we don't get behind one another.
Patriots, this is Kelly Jackson with the Tennessee Conservative. Today, I am super, super blessed by to be joined by one of, if not the most conservative member of our state house from District 92. It is Representative Todd Warner. Hey, Todd, how are you doing today?
Good, Kelly. How are you? Good afternoon.
Yeah, doing good. It's a Sunday, and yeah, tomorrow's Monday, but we've had a good day.
We have, and we had a good night last night for the Big Orange. They
Yeah.
pulled it out in a tight game, and I'm supporting the orange t-shirt today and the Donald Trump for president hat. So
Well, I'm halfway there with you. We're Georgia Bulldog fans in this house.
well, we won't hold that against you today. I don't know if they're still in the tournament or not, but I know the Big Orange is moving on to the Sweet 16, and I'm grateful for that.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So thank you so much again for being with me today, because I really wanted to address a couple of the issues with you and some legislation that is coming up this next week that's really, really important to the state of Tennessee and everyday regular Tennesseans. And that would be, and I wrote an article on it this last week, and that would be your and Senator Hensley's bill. It's HB 2912 and SB 2804. It's what we are calling in the grassroots the FBI bill. And
Yes.
first, what I want listeners to really understand is why this bill is important and why we are so grateful that you are carrying it. In a nutshell, let me make sure that this is correct. In a nutshell, it will prohibit the use of local and state law enforcement by the FBI for the purposes of intelligence investigations. They will only be able to pull in our law enforcement resources on criminal investigations. Is that correct?
That is correct. That is correct. This bill would the purpose of this bill is to protect the Catholic Church, to protect moms going to school board meetings, to protect protesters outside of an abortion clinic, to keep law enforcement, our local law enforcement, who has been funded by the Tennessee taxpayers, from participating in those types of investigations where there's really not a crime. It's more of one of those cases. You show me the person and I'll show you the crime type.
Exactly, which leads to my next point. Something that the audience probably doesn't understand is the big difference between the two types of investigations. And the simplest way that I know to explain it is that a criminal investigation is linear. So, in that, you start with a crime and then you build a case against the alleged perpetrator. We have due process in our country. You start with the crime and then you're innocent of it until you're proven guilty by the case. So, in an intelligence investigation, it's circular in that they start with a person and then gather enough information to come up with a charge that will stick. So, what do you think the inherent danger is of allowing our own state and local law enforcement to be able to participate in these investigations?
Well, it draws them away from, as crime is on the rise all across this country, it draws them away from doing the work of the people here in Tennessee. It's my understanding, and I have a former FBI, this Steve Friend, that's going to come testify in committee. He's going to tell what's going on with the Department of Justice and the FBI. But they draw our local law enforcement away from protecting our citizens while they're doing this. And also, Kelly, if you may not realize, and I didn't realize this, once they become an agent or a representative of the FBI to assist the FBI, they give up their intelligence. They cannot go to the sheriff's department and talk to the sheriff about what's going on because that sheriff may not have security clearance. The only ones that they can report back to is the FBI. And I see problems with that. And as we
Oh,
know
yeah.
what they've done to our great President Trump, they have weaponized the Department of Justice. They've weaponized the FBI. I've witnessed it firsthand myself. And it's a terrible situation that we've got to in this country. And all this bill does is just seek to let people know that we're not going to spend Tennessee tax dollars on what I call BS investigations. Just
Yeah.
put it blank.
Yes.
But now we want the FBI to help if there's criminal, If there's human trafficking, if there's drugs, if it's gangs, we want to help the FBI. We want to participate in those type of investigations. Mm-hmm. We want that stuff gone. We don't want them in here. You know, just like you explained it, you give a great illustration there a while ago when you explained it. And that's mm-hmm. what we're seeking to prohibit them from doing here in Tennessee.
So if this bill isn't passed, what effect do you think it will have in an era where the DOJ has threatened to arrest and prosecute what they call domestic terrorist threats? Do you foresee there being an impact here in the state?
I just think it'll keep coming. I think it's going to get worse. You know, for some ungodly reason, if Donald Trump's not reelected president and we got this so-called president, you know, I'm trying to be nice here and use a proper word, but I mean, we got a guy here who's losing his mind that's running his country. And I think it's every department runs itself. I don't think we have no great oversight up there. Sure, Congress is trying to do a good job, but, you know, I mean, we all know what's going on.
Yes.
We all know what's going on.
Yes, sir.
And I just think it will lead to more and more of these types of frivolous mm-hmm. investigation. And this is a simple one-page bill is all it is. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, I'm going to may stray off here a little bit, but we have what they call taxpayer-funded lobbyists up there at the Capitol. And that's where each department has their own lobbyists. They call them liaisons, but really they're taxpayer-funded funded lobbyists. And I've tried to work with the department, the TBI on this bill, and they're opposing it. Department of Safety is going to oppose it. They're probably going to testify in committee against the bill. We did add a section for them at the bottom, hoping to get the TBI on board, but they're still claiming that this bill will keep them from sharing information, critical information with the FBI. We don't see it that way, but they're always making excuses to kill good conservative legislation when it comes to it, down to it.
Yeah, yeah. So has this bill received pretty decent support within your own caucus or even bipartisan or any?
I think there's right now. Yeah, I think right now, Kelly, there may be 6 or 7. Members in the House signed on to it. I'm not sure. Senator Hensley's carrying it over in the Senate. I don't know how many co-sponsors over there, but I think I have about 7 co-sponsors in the House. And I'm sure I know that the Department of Safety and the TBI has been in the Leader Lambert's office. He sits on this committee. I'm sure that he'll have concerns with it, but we've brought in an expert. Somebody that knows mm-hmm. deep down what's really going on. Mm-hmm. And he's a former agent, and he's going to testify. And I hope I don't get done like I did last week when I had a sexual harassment bill up mm-hmm. there that dies for lack of a second.
A second. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which we see and, that happen so frequently. That is, just from my own personal observation of being up at the Hill as much as I was last session, just the perception that I have is that the House is essentially used as a bit of a strainer. That is where the bills are determined whether or not they're going to support or kill them. And they like to kill them in the dark of the subcommittee hearings and the committee hearings before they get to the floor. Because they know if they get to the floor that they'll probably pass because that's where the daylight is. They can't justify voting no when it will be recorded. We're in the House, you know how they go with those voice votes.
Yeah, those voice votes are terrible. I hate them. Representative Ritchie tried to change that rule last year when we started, and I supported that rule change. You know, let's vote it up or down. You know, a lot of times you get it's yay and nay, and the chairman slaps the mallet down or whatever, and you know, it's his call. Yeah. You really don't know. Then you question him. Ah, it's too late. You can't question it after he's banged the gavel, you know.
Right. Right.
That's BS again. I book too. Let's vote it up yes or down.
Yeah.
Let's have push buttons and you're on the record for how you vote for everything.
Yes. Yes. So if you have not had adequate support for this bill within your own caucus, do you think that the lack of support has to do with your voting record on other bills?
Yeah, I mean, that it could be. Of course, you know, we have a big education bill coming through through the House right now. It's working its way through the Senate. They're two different bills. And I've been very outspoken against the education bill. I'm all for parents' rights, school choice, but I'm not sure it's the government's place to continue to pay for it. And it's a Washington-style bill brought to the conservative doorsteps of Tennessee, and it's full of pork. Full of pork. If that bill's so good, it's 39 pages long. Let's break out in each individual item and vote them up or down on each item on its own merits.
Yeah,
and not the way that they're doing this. This ain't the way we run the show here in Tennessee. Passing bills like that didn't get us in the physical shape that we're in. The financial great shape that we've done here in Tennessee.
Yeah, yeah. So is that? I mean, so we're talking about being, punishing other Republicans. Is that a relatively common practice? I observed it to be, like you mentioned, Senator Brian Ritchie. He experienced a lot of that last session as well as this session. You've experienced it. I think a lot of the really conservative representatives that we have up there, yourself, Bud Halsey, Brian Ritchie. I don't know if Monty has gotten his taste as much as you all have, but it seems to me like whenever you buck the system, as it were, that would be outside of what leadership has determined need, they get in a room together and they come and tell you all, okay, this is how we're going to do things. And then you all go, yeah, I can't do that. And the reason that I understand you would say that about this education bill is because you haven't seen the support for this. Have you seen the support in your district?
No, ma'am. I'm voting my district. When I ran 4 years ago, I ran against school vouchers. The previous representative we had, and I hate to don't mean to be negative or say anything bad about him, even though we very seldom agreed on anything, but he promised the locals here in Marshall County. I represent Marshall and the southern part of Williamson now. I used to represent Marshall, Lincoln, Franklin, and Marion County. He promised those school boards that he would not support it. Miss Kelly, we don't have a private school in my district. Okay. The nearest one's probably 35 minutes away would be probably Columbia Academy. Now up in Williamson County, they may be something on up in Franklin for the district, the north part of the district up there they could get there, but I don't even have a private school in my district. I own a construction company. My workers, my employees, most of the time, all but the office personnel pretty much comes right out of high school and is ready for the workforce, or they go to a trade school. And I just think the days that we start gutting our public education system is the days that we start going back. We start taking a step back. Let's fix our education. Let's try to do a bit more for our public education system. Well, we've put a lot of money in it over the last few years. One problem I've got, and I don't mean to be negative toward the Commissioner of Education or the governor here, but, we go out of state. The one we got now, Commissioner Reynolds, I think it's from Texas. The one previous, Commissioner Swin, she was from California. We got perfectly good people, well-educated, qualified people that share Tennessee values. Why do we got to go out of state to hire somebody to run our Department of Education? Why don't we hire within the state of Tennessee? If I was governor, every commissioner would come from within this state, and we have people here qualified to do it, and we don't have to go to California, because you know what we get, and not nothing against the California folks. There's a lot of them.
Yeah, as a California native, I don't disagree with you.
But you know why the Californians are coming here?
Yes.
Because they're sick and fed up with what's going on out there.
Yes.
I've had so many that moved into my district, and they tell me that. They say, we think Tennessee's a great place. We moved here because of your values. And it just breaks my heart that we go out of state to hire somebody to run our education department. And
yes, sir. Yeah.
And I'm not taking a shot at her or the governor. I'm just saying.
Well, you wouldn't be alone if you were, because the ire for Ms. Reynolds has come from both sides.
This bill, that 39-page monster that we brought for this new program, the homeschoolers came out in force against it. They have been written completely out of the bill. It does not address homeschoolers now on the House side. Now, I'm not sure what's still left in the Senate side. But right. The House side, Speaker Sexton, I'm sure, has directed the sponsors of the bill to get the homeschoolers out. And they are now out of the bill. They didn't want no part of it. The rules, a lot of times we pass the bill, but really, the enforcement comes in the rules. And a lot of times they change the intent of the bill in the rule if you're not careful. And the government office, I used to sit on that committee, and that's where the rules get promulgated at.
Yes.
And you'd get so much at one time in there that would come through, it's hard to take it in. You know, the calendar and all the rules at each department would be changing. And if you just didn't spend days reading it, it's hard to catch stuff.
And let me ask you. A lot of times
the departments will cook stuff up in those rules.
Yes, and let me ask.
Not intentionally, maybe sometimes intentionally.
I will ask you too procedurally, that because people don't understand this, because it was funny. My husband and I were having a conversation about something similar on the federal level. They've recently changed they've promulgated some new rules on the federal level for child labor law. And what they've done is they've apparently reduced the number of hours that people under the age of 18 are able to work. They've capped it at 20 hours versus 32, which is incentivizing businesses to not hire anyone under the age of 18, because if you're going to invest in someone, you want them to be able to max out the hours. So my husband said, wait a minute, where's that legislation? I said, they don't have to pass new legislation. They can just promulgate new rules.
Change the rules.
Right. So in a similar fashion, our state house works the same way, in that it may look like this to start, but you cannot guarantee that a future General Assembly won't promulgate new rules. Is that correct?
That is very correct. And you made a very good point. And to your point on our young people just working 18 hours, you know, in my opinion, they need to be working 32 hours. It keeps them off the street. You know, it creates a good work ethic for when they get older, when they get out of college, you know, they're ready to go.
That's just an example of how our government works and how
that's the reason this country's in the shape it's in.
Yes, sir. So I want to bring these things together because I think what people need to understand is that there are bills that our really good conservative representatives are trying to pass and make Tennessee a place where the federal government cannot just reach in and impose mandates and unwanted rules on us that we don't want. So you all are up there trying to pass those kinds of legislation, when knowing that these potential laws do that for our citizenry, the leadership in the Republican House on both sides would endeavor to kill those types of bills just to punish our conservative lawmakers because they don't just bend at their will. Does that?
Yeah, you made a, I've seen it happen. I've seen it happen to mine. I had a couple of years ago, I had a patient's bill of rights right after COVID. The protected patients, you know, we shoved so many people in the hospital during COVID, shoved a respirator down their throat. They was left there to die alone with no family members. And my bill would have gave those family members some rights, you know, to be in there at the last hours and to advocate for those patients. And it died. That's one bill that I had died lack of a second. There's been a couple more.
Yeah.
It's pretty embarrassing when that happens to you in committee. I had one last week that I had reached across the aisle, a sexual harassment bill with a Democrat. I thought she was a woman. I thought it would be good. I had some testimony from a prior employee up there that I didn't feel comfortable reading. I wanted her to, I wanted it to come from a woman to read her testimony. And it died like of a second. I think it was one Democrat and six or seven Republicans on the committee.
Yeah. And let's
two women.
Let's emphasize that. Are most of the committees mostly Republicans?
They are. There's
99
House members. I think there's 24 or 25 Democrats and the rest are House or Republicans.
Right. So that is something else. I don't know if our readers slash listeners understand is the pervasiveness of the supermajority we have up there. We can pretty much do whatever you
we
all
can do whatever we
whatever
want
you
to do.
Wanted, and they wouldn't even have to show up. So
right.
You know, when you hear these lobbyists say, scream and yell about progressives, do they even have any power to do anything? Guys like Justin Jones, who is really loud, but does he actually have any power to do anything?
He has no power to do nothing. Nothing.
Right.
He's one of three that really speak up and really loud on the Democrats. But, you know, if the Democrats all walk out, we have a constitutional majority. If they don't show up, every single Democrat walks out of that House floor, we can still do Tennessee's business.
Yeah.
We can move right along. We don't have to have a single one of them to pass laws.
Yeah.
Sure, it's good for debate. It's good for whatever. But, you know, we don't have to have them. We can pass whatever we want.
Yeah.
And that bothers me sometimes, being a conservative up there. Yeah, when it comes to true conservative legislation, you know, we don't get behind one another. We pick a reason why. You know, I've been pretty vocal about this school bill. And I know I'm getting retaliated against right now in my own district. They've probably sent three or four mailers. I think there's probably been 8 text blasts out. There's been 1 push poll over phone. It's pretty troubling that the money that they're spending right now coming after conservatives because, quote unquote, you're not for school choice. Well, I'm all for school choice, but I'm for getting government out of it.
Well, you're for school choice in principle.
Kelly, I don't know if you realize, you probably do, but a lot of the listeners may not realize, it sounds like a good bill. First 2 years, if you make over $120,000, you do not qualify.
Okay.
You got to be a family of four, less than $120,000. You get $7,000.
Yeah.
Well, that money can be spent on transportation. It can be spent on computers. You know, what kind of private education are you really going to get? If you're just depending on this money to send your kids to school, you can't afford to send them to private school. Now you've got $7,000 to send them. What kind of education do you think those kids are really going to get?
Okay, so what I really want people to understand is we want this bill, this FBI bill, we want this to be supported and passed. So number one, what I'm going to do is we're going to be putting links in this interview in our publication for the committee that is going to be voting on this, because we want this bill supported. But what we really need people to understand is that when your really truly conservative reps are trying to represent your values, this is the kind of treatment they get, folks. They get bullied, they get smeared, and this is what happens to them. And what it does is it puts Tennesseans at risk of being surveilled, prosecuted, arrested for the things that our Constitution says we have an inalienable right to. So what we want is we want people to support your FBI bill, because we know that you've got an uphill battle because you're the one carrying it. The one carrying it. So the bill has an uphill battle, and as it does with Senator Hensley. Senator Hensley is also one of our very best.
He's one of the most conservatives over there.
Yes.
I have all respect for that man in the world. And
yes.
If it can be done over there, he'll try to get it done. But what we got to worry about, our biggest battle on this bill is keeping the taxpayer-funded lobbyists, you know, from killing it. They're working. The minute they seen it, they already told me that they've been in Lambert's office.
Yeah.
And might not be a bad idea to reach out to Representative Lambert's office.
Yes.
And tell him to get behind the bill. It's a good bill. They're going to try to make the argument in the committee that this is going to prohibit, you know, the FBI from investigating on criminal. That's going to be their thing, that we're against law enforcement. We are not against law enforcement.
No.
We're not against the FBI.
No.
We just don't want them targeting innocent people that's done nothing wrong.
Yes. Yes, sir.
We want them to stay away from mom going down to school board meeting and having her right to speak, you know?
Yeah. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So let's see. That would be, so the Criminal Justice Subcommittee is on Tuesday at noon.
Right. Yeah.
And then it will be in front of the Senate Judiciary Committee with Senator Hensley at 1 p.m. Yes. on the same day, Tuesday, correct?
Yes, right. Now, they do have Clay Doggett, which is a great friend of mine, a great conservative, chairs that committee. And they have had very, very long calendars. They hadn't finished one all year. So they've been having to roll each week. And we have testimony coming in, and we're going to see if hopefully if we can maybe get it moved up, or, you know, get the Wild Steve Frank, the agents here to be push, heard in perhaps, committee.
Yeah, perhaps push to the top of the agenda or toward the top of the agenda.
Yeah, that would be good. But I know they're going to have two subcommittees on Tuesday. I think they're going to have one meeting, then they're going to let full come in, and they're going to come back to sub again.
Yeah.
Trying to finish up. The committees are closing, and we're winding down session. And this would be great for Tennesseans if we could get this passed here at the end of session. It would be a great step in protecting the people we talked about earlier.
Yes, absolutely, 100%. And we are 100% behind this bill. And I would encourage anybody who is in Representative Warner's district down there where he mentioned, did you say you're in Marshall County and then you've got a portion of Williamson?
Yeah, Southern Williamson. I got the Spring Hill side of Williamson, then out through Bethesda, out that way, back over to 31 and down to Marshall County.
Yeah. So I would encourage all of you to, we're going to have the links and everything available along with this interview in the publication so that you can just click on that. I will have a take action link also connected in there for our friends over at Tennessee Stands who are also taking action on this bill in support of this bill. And I would encourage anybody and everybody to contact the subcommittee and the committee over even on the Senate side to let them know how much we want them to vote yes, regardless of what they're being told by Republican leadership with relationship to other legislation that they feel is more important.
Your voice does matter. It matters when we see those emails pop up. I promise you, it does.
Yes, I think the fact that it hasn't already just been pushed right through as quick as you've seen it done in other states, it does speak to they're having a difficult time getting it through. And so I think, like you said, people's voices do matter. Don't think that just because you're one person, you don't count. You just do what you can do and then let everybody else do what they're going to do. And believe me, it does make a difference.
Thank you so much, Kelly. Thank you for what the Tennessee Conservative does. Y'all put out a lot of good news. You keep people's eyes wide open, and we're grateful for that. And thank you.
Thank you. Is there anything that you want to leave us with before we wrap up here?
No, I just appreciate your support. I'm consider myself one of the most conservative members down there. I'm going to fight for the conservative values. It's made this state a great state. It is. And so they run me out of there. That may be soon. I don't know. But
we're going to try to keep that from happening for quite a while if we can.
Well, please, if any of your great folks that watch or listen or read, please reach out to my office if I can help you anyway.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, Todd Warner, representative from Tennessee's 92nd District, as always, it has been a pleasure. Thank you so much for everything you do. And we will chat with you again soon, I am sure. Thank you so much.
Have a great afternoon. Thank you.
You too. Bye.